Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Beautiful day shaping up here in South Florida. Jeff DeForest, Mike Luby Lubitz, a.k.a. Luby Brown with you. 940 Wins, 1230 The Zone, the iHeart Radio app. All right, so let me repaint this picture or paint it for you. I'm sitting out there at the Breezeway Bar at Gulfstream Park. Done a tremendous build-up that Iron Eagle was going to appear on a show. It was 9:05. I was thinking, hey, nice way to get into the final hour. I'm that much closer to the weekend and getting to the betting windows without any impediment of having to be responsible for anything. And Luby's telling me, yeah, it's going to be great having Ian on the program. He's plugged into everything. And then he gets a text from Ian Eagle that says, lose my number. That's when you started to really express some concern that maybe he wasn't going to come on the show. So nice we've been able to recover that. Do you use that just, what is that, an acronym where you just go LMN, like LOL, and indicating to people to lose your number, Ian Eagle? How are you, my friend?
Defo, I'd like to hire Jared, please. I'm suffering, like all of us, from quarantine brain. It happens. I thought I would avoid it, but I completely forgot about our scheduled interview. And I went on a walk with my wife. You know, I thought I was going to help our marriage, and little did I know, a different relationship would end.
I hope you never get involved in any kind of attorney work at this level. Yeah, that was always nauseating to see that tenth of an hour billing, especially on a divorce attorney. That happened to me my second go-round there. I had to hire an attorney to preserve the bowling ball $6,000 later. I got the pleasure of rolling that thing right into the canal, and her bag and shoes went in right after that. Not that I was bitter or anything, but it did cost me quite a bit of cash.
The time!
Wake up with Defo, joined by Luby. Welcome to The Defo Show.
Pickham with another 2-2 pitch, and Cooper sends one in the air deep center field. Verdugo twisting around. That one carries out of here! A two-run home run to straightaway center field. Garrett Cooper puts the Marlins on the board. Here's Lewis Brinson now with two outs. And Brinson on cue down in the left field corner. Anderson on his way to third, and Trey Hillman's going to wave him around. Here comes the throw. Not in time to third. Brinson in there safely.
So Brinson at third for Jorge Alfaro.
Ball and two strikes to Alfaro out toward right center field. Oh, this one's going to go. That one's going to go. A two-run home run for Jorge Alfaro. Alfaro with a fly ball out toward left center field gives it a ride, and it is gone. Second time tonight for Jorge Alfaro. Third multi-home run game for Jorge Alfaro, and the Marlins are up by six.
Yeah, you know you're locked in when you start to get the mistakes and you make them pay like this. That's a cement mixer.
It's out to right. Brinson long run, sliding and makes the catch. What a play by Lewis Brinson in right field. This score holds. The Marlins will gain a game of space between them and the third place Phillies. Up the middle. Jazz backhands, dug out by Cooper. It's a Marlins win. So they pull a half game closer of the Atlanta Braves. And with the season still winding down, the clock ticking, the Marlins are alive. 8-4, the final, 2.5 back.
Man on La Mancha time, my friends. Man on La Mancha to dream the impossible dream. I know I can't sing. I'm sorry, people, but I couldn't be any happier. Just absolutely giddy. The drive for 25, deal Volkswagen. Ye of little faith out there. A lot of people were laughing at us. So you should have seen the look on the faces of the guys in the one place that we bet it. Now, we bet this thing all across the universe. The over on the 24 and a hook proposition bet for the Marlins season win total, which seemed to be a lofty number, did it not, Luby? There was a lot to overcome.
That was impossible.
Thank you. Yeah, Don Mattingly, Michael Hill, wow, we should give him a piece of the action, although it probably represents some kind of illegal activity there and maybe wipe out the season. So we don't want to get involved in that. But nonetheless, and Don Mattingly is going to join us tomorrow. Clear-cut manager of the year, is he not?
Oh, I think it's
at
over.
At this point, Mike Lubey.
We're still in the playoff hunt with 2 weeks worth of games left or 3 weeks worth of games left. They're still in the playoff hunt.
You know the mantra. First goal is to win our division of the conference.
Well, they have a shot.
That's what the college coaches always say when they're about to get fired, right? When they're sitting there on the hot seat. Well, our first goal is to win the conference. Yeah, okay. If you don't win the national championship this year with that loaded team, Nick Saban, you're out. Even in Alabama. But I've had a couple of distinct moments with the Marlins winning the World Series that stand out to me. I mean, indelibly impressed. I do remember I had a MasterCard moment in the 97 World Series Game 7. And I've told this story a few times, but still, I think maybe worth repeating, right? Because it is true what they said in the MasterCard commercial. The idea that we were at Game 7 and saw that championship come to fruition was priceless. And at the time, that was versus the $1,500 my son, Jesse, could have received at 14 for just going ahead and selling the tickets that we had. We had some very nice seats. I was part of a season ticket package. I bought in with two other guys. My friend Mike Fernandes, who works for Fox Sports, does a brilliant job. He's like a technical giant. And for years, he had made what would have been my very mediocre TV appearances look brilliant because the guy was just tremendous at what he did, running camera, putting things together. Fantastic. So he was part of this group. And Rosie Paymont, you remember Rosie Paymont, the
yes.
penalty box? I think he still has a bar. Does he have a piece of Jester's?
Oh, good.
They're on, what is that, Commercial Boulevard, Jester's? And it might be McNabb, but whatever it is, he has a piece, I believe, of that still. And he was one of the tough guys, the Paymonts, of course, a big family of NHL hockey, and he was a staple down here of the South Florida social scene with the bars that he had. Penalty box was great. It's now in LA Fitness. Luby, I wonder what he got for selling that piece of land. That ought to be pretty good. A lot better than he did in his NHL career, even though he was a brilliant player. And so we were partners in a season ticket package, and it came down to this. Rosie didn't care about going to any of the World Series games because his only interest, Rosie Paymont, you won't find this necessarily surprising, was to go to Montreal Expos games.
Oh, geez.
So those were the only tickets that he wanted. And it boiled down to Mike and me for Game 6 or Game 7 tickets to the World Series. Now, you remember in 1997, the Marlins were up 3-2 as they returned back to what is now Hard Rock Stadium. And they played Game 6 there. And my friend Mike, who, like I said, I mean, he had done so much work. I was getting all the credit because I was the face of our TV enterprises, and he was really doing all the work. So he asked me, he said, hey, listen, Defo, cut me a little slack. I want to be there when the Marlins win this thing. I think they're going to do it tonight. So he took the Game 6 tickets and left me with the Game 7.
Oh, wow.
Pair of tickets right behind home plate. So they play a very dull game. I believe they lost like 4-1 in Game 6 to the Cleveland Indians. And it was like one of those games where you're never really in it. And so Mike went to that game, and I told my son Jesse, I said, look, if you want, I can probably scalp these tickets at the time, probably worth like $7.50 a pop. I think face value on the World Series tickets was maybe $25,
yeah.
Which was unbelievable. And this was literally right behind home plate. We had done some work, and Mike again came through. He had done some work for Don Smiley, who was the president of the team when Wayne Huizenga first put it on the map here. And I think Smiley gave us a very favorable pick. It was one of those Knicks picks when they got Patrick Ewing, when they did a lottery draw for season tickets. Everybody had applied for season tickets, and we pulled these miracle tickets right behind home plate. I mean, if a guy threw a spitter, you might get, you know, wouldn't have been safe in COVID-19 times. So I have these pricey tickets that are of great value for Game 7 of a World Series, and I offered my son the opportunity. I said, we can sell these for probably $1,500 outside the stadium, or we can go to the game. What do you want to do? You can keep the money. I didn't need a piece of it at the time. Now I probably would have split it with him. But he said, let's go to the game. And we did, and it's true. The memory is priceless. I can't believe how much excitement I got out of that. And when they won the World Series in 2003, it still stands out to me because we were making a video of a handicapping contest in Delaware. And we were coming back from that. And the Pauly man was involved not only in the video, but he was involved in a contest, and he wins the contest. And he happened to be coming back at the same time I was going out to the airport to meet the Marlins after he had beaten the Yankees in Game 6 there behind Josh Beckett. And a lot of the news media was going to meet the Marlins there and get whatever sound bites they could and get whatever coverage they could out of the thing and get the whole scene there at the airport. And they come in, the Marlins come in through one gate, and there's nobody there. And same time, we're wondering what happened here. A Pauly man was arriving with like 30 dimes that he had won in a handicapping contest, and everybody was waiting for the Pauly man to come back because I think he owed him a lot of money. There were like 300 people there in line going, "Hey, Pauly man, I know you made a score." But and that stands out to me to this day. But this was tremendous. I nearly was driven to tears last night watching the Marlins eclipse 25 wins for the season with 13 left to go. So now we can go into that coaching mode, Luby. I want you to sound just like every coach in the ACC that isn't Clemson, that isn't Dabo Swinney, and go ahead and tell us that your first goal is to win the conference, which was to get the drive for 25, and now we can zero in on the playoffs and the postseason. That'll be great. All right, a lot of congratulatory stuff coming in. What happened to Western Union? Are they still in business? Western Union?
Yeah,
remember,
they
used to get wired money? They're still around, Western Union?
Yeah, they exist.
How archaic is that, right? I mean, you can get money anywhere and have it sent to you instantaneously by various sources now without even having to pay a fee. Remember you used to have somebody, you'd be in Vegas and you'd be stuck, you still had 3 days left out there and you had no money, and you'd call your best friend and say, "Hey, can you wire me some money?" And go, "Yeah, sure," but it never came. It was like you were waiting for the stagecoach to arrive in Dodge City with some medicine the doc needed to perform an operation. And you're thinking, where's the stagecoach? It's not coming. And usually you'd get telegrams on this sort of thing, right? Were you ever around when people gave you congratulatory telegrams, Luby?
No.
I don't think so. No, everybody just tweets and texts and that's it. But here are some of the comments coming in. The first time I bet the Marlins over in years, Richard Stuck. Our good friend Andy says, "Wow, just blew away the number. Congratulations." Lenny the Chronic says, "Fantasy. See, Luby is not a mush." Our good friend Jimmy Ross, "I kept waking up my wife last night saying, 'The drive!' in the great Johnny Addy's voice. I might need those winnings for a divorce attorney." And, of course, Jersey Kyle, his usual comment, "Hello, darling." The celebratory dinner, the $5,000, did you decide on a charity, Louie? The $5,000, the five dimes that you're going to give away?
I've narrowed it down.
Courtesy of Dale Volkswagen.
I'm going to talk to Q today and see, because he's a big part of the movement, and what's good about him is he covers both sides. I don't want to do an All Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter fight. I think that's ridiculous. I want to take action that actually may help. And
nice.
Because of Deal, I can actually do that. So I'm going to talk to him about the... I know he has his own charity, and I actually trust him. So it's probably going to be his charity. And I'll actually ask how that happens, and then I will also help promote it. And I, again, will thank Deal for ponying up the money as confident as they were that confident in the Miami Marlins.
They just didn't want you to be a mush, which Lenny the Chronic acknowledged that obviously you're not. All right, this gentleman had abstained from calling the show, he says, because he didn't want to mush the bet. We were getting close. We were zeroing in on this thing. It was trending very well throughout most of the season once we got back from the pandemic and the COVID-19 hit that the Marlins took, and they started winning ball games. Eric, maybe the leading Marlins caller on any radio station in town. Eric, welcome to the show.
Not only in town, I also call the number one radio station in the world, and that's WFAN, and let them know about their dumpster fire Mets. But I regress. It's Defo, Luby. It's 13 games in 11 days, guys.
Oof.
No
yes.
days off.
Oof.
Okay? We really need to pull these games against the Nationals and the Braves. You know, we're still fighting for first place. I'm not okay with drive for 25. I'm so happy with it. You know what I mean? I didn't want to mush the bet, but let's go for first place. We're not done here, guys.
My man, Jose Urania, as Glenn Geffner told us, you know, maybe I've been misguided in pronouncing him the potential Cy Young Award winner at the last three spring trainings. But nonetheless, we need him today. Now we need every game. Now let's get greedy. Let's go for it. I'm with you 1,000%.
And not only that, Defo, we really need to pray, and hopefully George Alfaro is okay, because we're very, 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 very thin at catcher. And so, you know, we lost Cervelli for the year. He did a great deal of help with the starting rotation at the beginning of the year, and all the ups and downs and the 180 roster moves that we've done. 180 roster moves for a 60-game season.
Classic.
Right, and we're only like 47 games into it.
Exactly.
180 roster moves in 47 games. That's incredible. Think about that. This Michael Hill, he's unbelievable.
Yes, he's doing a great job. Also, Gary Dembo and Derek Jeter as well. But I need you to tell Donnie, please, on my behalf, please, or just say, fans, we appreciate you. I want to say thank you very much. I just want him to be as aggressive as possible for these next 13 games because I know he smells it, and I know he's doing the best that he can. But please protect George Alfaro and make sure that we just, you know, man, Brian Anderson. Remember I called last month? I think the last time I called here, I talked about Brian Anderson being better than Nolan Arenado, and some doofus called after me and ripped me. That Brian Anderson is the top second baseman in major leagues right now.
That's all funny.
Oh, he's playing third, yeah.
He's third. Yeah.
He's at the hot corner.
All right? Yeah.
I don't know that I put him in that category yet.
Everybody's doing a great job.
Great job, no question. Alfaro with a couple of homers last night. Don't think you'll see him out there for this 1:10 start this afternoon. Games that you can hear. Hey, thanks, Eric. You've been a guy. You could not say that you're one of those, like Luby, ye of little faith. You've been a guy that's been there for us the entire time. You've been touting his team for the last couple of years also. And you've suffered the lumps and the slings and arrows of outrageous misfortune that we've gone through. But here we are with a chance to go to the postseason and already accomplished a drive for 25. The money's in the bank. Thanks so much, Eric, for being a supporter of the show and of course, Los Marlins all season.
Thank you, Defo. But I've been talking about this team since Hank Goldberg days. That have been a couple of years, Papo. I love you very much, and I love these Marlins. Have a great day.
We love you, man. Be safe.
Is that the two? Exactly. I think that's the two. We have the two, don't we? I love Hank. I really do. I love Hank. At the end there, he was kind of losing it a little bit on the radio, but he's doing a fine job now, still picking games there on CBS Sports and out there in Las Vegas, living a dream. All right, we'll come back with more. We'll take more of your calls if we can. Sekou Smith from the Bubble coming up. Ideal Volkswagen, the Forest Files. I bet you can imagine what topic that addresses today here on 940 Winds and 1230 The Zone. I am almost a giddy Jeff DeForest, and we have Mike Luby Lubitz, who's also very happy and is going to look very, very, I mean, gracious and philanthropic as he donates $5,000 to charity that is being provided by the people at Deal Volkswagen for having him just kind of stay out of the way on this bet. Back with more in a moment. Now that.
The time.
I think I might be able to squeeze you with 20 and get you into the dinner, too, Luby.
Nice.
All right, because I know you love that place when we've been doing our thing at the Capitol Grill there. What mall is that? The Galleria Mall.
Galleria,
right?
Yes. Galleria? Fort Lauderdale, yeah. By the beach.
Nice little spot. A lot of babes there. It is 7:23.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can I introduce you?
What was the question?
The world's foremost authority, Professor Irwin Curry.
Right.
Welcome.
Well, I feel not only honored, but I feel the confrontation upon which we have set our sights can no longer endure at the propensity of a developing prognosis. Now you say, what? It doesn't matter that we... What was the question?
What's your name, sir?
Oh, Professor Irwin Corey, the world's foremost authority.
The Defoe Show, featuring Luby. Welcome back to The Defoe Show.
Is this not Mike Luby Lubitz in the vernacular of the sporting world when it comes to speculation? Is this not a pivotal game two? Certainly for the Celtics it is. The Miami Heat could afford to lose this game. They're still very much in a series. That's the beauty of having that overtime victory. And by the way, we'll ask Sekou Smith about this. That two-minute report that they have from the officiating crew, or on the officiating crew, they do a deep dive and examine what it was that they were calling. Because I have to admit, I flipped away for a second, and I didn't see what happened that put the Celtics on the line for that game-tying free throw with, what was it, 12 seconds to go in the game?
When, 22 seconds.
They put Tatum on the line for a game-tying free throw. Did you see? I mean, that was supposedly a bogus call, whatever it was. I flipped away for a second to check out the Marlins game, and when I came back, there was this guy sinking a free throw, and they still had the ball, the Celtics. So
it was a joke. It was
while the ball was out of bounds.
When
right?
you can't. This has been a few years now where people would hustle and tackle each other before the ball's thrown in, and that was bogus. So if you foul a guy before the ball's thrown in, you get a free throw and the ball. It's like a technical. It was BS, to be brutally honest. Like, Kemba Walker in the open floor shoves the crap out of Derrick Jones in front of the...
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Ref, like, shoves Derrick Jones Jr. into, I think it was Tatum, or I don't know who the hell, I forgot who he shoved him into. It was blatant. Yeah. And they call the foul on Derrick Jones Jr. And Kemba Walker clearly shoved him. Like, it wasn't like it was soft. It was weak. He shoved the crap out of him. Like, you could call nothing there. Instead, they called on Derrick Jones. They got a free throw, and that gave them overtime.
Well, and not only that, it gave him a chance to win the game there in regulation.
Yes.
But Tatum chucked up his shot with like 12 seconds ago or something.
Yeah.
A 42-footer, thinking he was Pete Maravich. All right, we're coming back with more. Sekou Smith from the bubble. We'll examine that. But the officials who oversee the officials realized that they blew that call and several others there in the end of the game in the last 2 minutes, all going against the Heat. Back with more in a moment. A deal, Volkswagen, the Forest Files coming up. Celebration. It's Horatio Alger time here as we accomplish the drive for 25. Back with that in a moment. Now that.
The time.
Virtual parade tomorrow, too, 7:31.
Nation's used car destination.
It's all about the DEEL. That story in a moment. Hi, Jeff DeForest here for the great people at Deal Volkswagen. They're driving from everywhere to Deal Volkswagen for so many reasons. One, because Anna makes buying or leasing a VW so easy. Two, because it's the best location, minutes from everywhere in Miami-Dade County. Three, it has the newest and coolest facility with custom artwork throughout the showroom. Four, it has a state-of-the-art service center coming very soon. 5, 6, and 7, prices, selection, and service. Always exceptional. And you'll always get a great deal at Deal Volkswagen. Right now, get 0% financing for up to 72 months on most new VW models. That's no interest for up to 6 years. September is all about Jetta, 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 offering everything from looks and style to comfort and substance. No wonder driving one just makes you feel better. Take advantage now of summer clearance deals and save big on all models. Contact Anna and the gang today at 305-448-DEEL or visit DealVolkswagen.com, and you'll be like thousands of happy customers, including me, that say it's all about the DEEL. Strike up the band. It's time for the parade, Luby. Actually, a couple of them. First, there's the parade to the cashier's window. Yes, despite the immense obstacles, the people who openly laughed at our proposition bet, the paranoia that comes with the pandemic, we are cashing our ticket on the Deal Volkswagen Drive for 25. Yes, there is a guy. While those that book the bet will have to go to the money room to provide us with a large stack of sticks, we will also feature an impromptu on-air parade to celebrate going against the grain and overcoming those of little faith as the Marlins win over Boston Wednesday night pushed us over the projected number for the season. Not only did the team crush the number, but they did it with 13 games left in this strangest of all baseball campaigns. A few things are clear as the Fish move to 25 and 22 on the year and occupy second place in the NL East, currently on track to make the postseason as well. Don Mattingly is easily MLB's manager of the year. Not believed to be ready to contend. Hell, all you had to do was see the faces of the sportsbook personnel when we came in with a big wad of cash to bet the over on the season. No manager has dealt with more adversity than Donnie Baseball this year. Somehow, like a juggler who has bowling pins going with both his arms and his legs at the same time, Mattingly has spun what could easily have been a disaster into baseball's feel-good story of the season. We also believe Michael Hill should be named Executive of the Year. This guy pulled more rabbits out of his hat than Lance Burton did in a 10-year residency at the Monte Carlo in Las Vegas. Especially impressive with the number of starting pitchers he has wheeled out while pasting together a roster of position players he dug up from the outer regions of parts unknown. Another thing is abundantly clear as well. Not only is Deal Volkswagen the best place to buy or lease a car, there is a serendipitous spirit to the way they do business that makes the impossible seem like a matter of routine. For now, the drive for 25 is complete. Holy man of La Mancha, the impossible dream has become reality. Jeff DeForest with the DeForest Files.
Tatum. Dragic clears it out. Butler downhill on Tatum. Into traffic. Got it! And one! Clutch time, Dade County. Jimmy Butler delivering.
And the Heat bench is like, yes, sir. That's our closer.
Doris, I swear, Tatum bounced off him twice on the same drive. Tatum out front. Clock at seven. Working against Butler. Got downhill. Couldn't punch it. Bam says, get it out of here. Out of bio. Sky high with the block and rejection. That's why he's NBA All-Defensive Team. Bam Adebayo went airborne with Jason Tatum, and Adebayo won. Wow. A meeting at the summit, Doris.
That is a ridiculous defensive play. Jason Tatum is clearly by everybody else, high above the rim. Looks like it's going to be an easy dunk, and Bam says, not in my house.
Buenos dias. The cafecito is piping hot. Why not enjoy it with Defo and Luby? It's now time for the Defo Show.
Two money plays at opposite ends of the floor by members of the Miami Heat. Good enough to pull out a 117-114 victory in game number one against the Boston Celtics. Game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. Game two is tonight. Gets underway, I believe, at 7 o'clock. We're going to go straight to the bubble. It's a small world after all. One of our favorites, been with us, I think, the entire time we've been doing this morning drive thing here on 940 Wins and now 1230 The Zone in the iHeartRadio app, and a brilliant analyst on NBA TV, NBA.com. The great Sekou Smith joins us here on the show. Sekou, how are things in the bubble?
Good, Jeff. Good, man. Nothing but, you know, great basketball, bad food, and, you know.
At least you're honest.
Are you guys paying Disney prices? Are you having to pay Disney World prices for this grub? Because like one of those little ice creams with the two ears is like $18 there. So that could break you right there. Your whole salary from NBA TV may go out the window there in a couple of weeks.
Pretty much. I think I saw that a dozen chicken wings cost you $24, which I said I can't remember. I can't remember paying that much for a chicken wing until I got down to Disney. So.
Yes, I'll take these to go. You can box them. That's for sure. Yeah, usually it's a debate. You got one little chicken wing left. It's a flat, not even a drum. And, you know, it's buried in the sauce there. And you're thinking, yeah, I'll take that home with me. All right, your impressions of game number one. What were your takeaways on game number one, Heat-Celtics?
So it was exactly what I thought it would be. You know, just a back-and-forth affair between two really, you know, talented, hard-playing teams. I don't know if it's translating on television just how hard these guys are going. When you're watching it in person, and we're watching it, you know, from courtside like we did 20 years ago when I first started covering the league.
Yeah.
Before they put our seats, you know, up on the concourse level or you know, up on the third level. It's just so grimy how hard these teams are going at each other. And it's really fun to watch. You forget just how unbelievable it is for these guys to be this big, this fast, strong, and to go that hard. So it's what I expected in terms of two pretty evenly matched teams, you know, trying to figure out how to knock the other out. And I think we're going to see a bunch of games in this series that look just like that in terms of the back and forth and how they match up.
Sekou Smith, NBA TV, NBA.com with us here at 940 Wins, 1230 The Zone, and the iHeartRadio app. What are your thoughts about the two-minute report? How do you guys view that on NBA TV? Is there a variety of opinions? Do people like it? Is it divided about, you know, what value it actually has? So what are your thoughts on that whole two-minute report about the officials?
Sure, there's definitely a diversity of opinion on that. I know a lot of our former, you know, guys who played in the league aren't really fond of it. But there are a lot of people that think it's a good thing and appreciate the transparency, if you will. My big concern about it is it just feels like you're unnecessarily throwing the officials under the bus sometimes with the two-minute report. And I get it. You know, it's a way for, you know, the league to hold the refs accountable in some ways. But to me, you know, why scoop up, you know, the obvious and throw it back in people's face after the fact when you can't change it. You know, that's the thing about, you know, something like that that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
The one that came out on this game, you would have thought Tim Donaghy had renewed his his tenure there as an NBA official, because it seemed like, according to the report anyway, there were three plays involved, and he got jobbed in all of them, according to what the review indicated.
Yeah, and look, it's always going to be human error involved. I try and explain that to people. If you think that there's going to be some perfect, you know, game, whether it's played perfectly or officiated perfectly, you haven't been paying a whole lot of attention. There's just simply going to be an amount of human error that you have to live with. You know, if you're watching, if you're playing, and observing these games, it's too much, you know, action at a breakneck pace by guys that are too big, you know, for the human eye to catch everything, or for them to always be right. But again, it only, you know, tends to feed into these foolish conspiracy theories some people have, you know, about something not being, you know, on the up and up. And I think that's the bad part about the Too Many Report, in terms of people's, you know, explanations and understanding of what's going on.
Not uncommon in pre-series and pre-game analysis to have matchups and who holds the edge at point guard, who holds the edge at forward, and, of course, coaching. The common theory here, and I keep hearing this, is that Spo badly outcoached Brad Stevens, who I have great respect for. We loved him at Butler, and I've always considered him to be one of the really sharp young minds in the NBA. Many Celtic fans were sour on some of the decisions he made, and Spoelstra, on the other hand, looked like a madman, like a mad scientist, even throwing in a little Jimmy B zone defense at one point in time. Is it fair to say, or did you think, that Spo outcoached Brad Stevens in that game, or was it not a factor at all?
I don't know if I ever agree with that, you know, with this idea that some coach has, you know, outfoxed the other coach, you know, in a situation like this. If Jason Tatum's dunk goes down and say Boston wins that game, does anybody, you know, ride that train about one guy outcoaching the other? It's really, you know, the coaches are in charge of getting you prepped for these games. It's up to the players to go out there and execute whatever the game plan is. And there's such a high, you know, degree of freelancing that goes on in the course of a game. You know, we're talking about guys who are trusted to play their instincts and understand how to read and react to situations on the court. But I'm not sure a coach can manipulate things, you know, much beyond what he tells them in a huddle and hoping that they run the plays. I mean, do you think Mike Malone really outcoached Doc Rivers, or was that just Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic finding a way to, you know, to bedevil a Clippers team that didn't have, you know, the mettle as a group, the guts to find a way to fight and finish off a series?
I'm coming to you from the Off Lease Only Studios. Defoe's at the Barefoot Beach Villas Verbal Laboratory here in I-41, so after the zone, the iHeartRadio app, talking a little NBA as he have game 2 tonight in their Eastern Conference Finals against the Boston Celtics. Sekou Smith from NBA TV, NBA.com. Follow him, hit him up on Twitter, at Sekou Smith, NBA, coming to us live from the bubble. Okay, you brought it up. You did the, you know what you're doing. You like read my mind, because that's where I was transitioning next, was where we've seen coaching go well is in the Eastern Conference, both those coaches, and even Nick Nurse pulls stuff out of his rear all the time. Doc Rivers is a guy that has won a title, but we've seen since then, it feels like he underwhelms with the talent he has. If you're not blaming the coaching, what are you blaming? Because Paul George said some really weird things for a guy that is on a team that definitely was playing for a title, and that's what this year was about for everyone, except for, I guess, him. What did you take from that series then? Do you give the Nuggets the credit, or do you blame the Clippers?
Oh, there's no question I give the Nuggets the credit. You know, and the Clippers were in a position to win that series, you know, three different times.
Yep.
And couldn't get it done. And I don't know that I look at that and say, well, the coach just didn't have them prepared or weren't doing the right things. When they had double-digit leads in all those games and just fell apart. That, to me, is a huge credit to what Denver did. And not what Mike Malone did necessarily, for the fact that his players, his stars, were the ones who willed their team to a victory. They could have easily let go of the rope if you're Denver at any point in games 5, 6. They were down, 12 points in game 7, but they simply refused to let the Clippers knock them out. And that, to me, is about what kind of guts, your best players or your players in general have, just what kind of mental, fortitude do they have to fight back from that in the course of a game and win. So, I don't think Mike Malone came up with any magical, sets that allowed them to do that. That was about his best players taking the challenge each and every time and outplaying the Clippers in their best players.
Sekou, did you see V. Stiviano hovering around the team hotel there of the Clippers?
Did not.
It seemed like.
I'm sure they feel cursed, Clippers fans, welcome to Clipper Mania. If you had known, this is not a franchise that has a history of getting it done. 8 times they've had opportunities to win their way into the Western Conference Finals. 5 of those under Doc Rivers, which is a fair criticism. And all 8 times they haven't gotten the job done.
Yeah, I think Billy Crystal was seen diving into one of those alligator-infested lakes there on the grounds at Disney World. Another bitter disappointment, but like Jet fans, they're more than used to it. Sekou Smith, NBA TV, NBA.com with us here. Realistically, how much does this change the dynamic of the Western Conference Final? Mm-hmm. Everybody all along since day number one thought it was going to be Clippers-Lakers through the pandemic, the shutdown, the restart, through the early rounds of the postseason now. That seemed to be destined, that the Western Conference would be decided by Clippers-Lakers. How much does this change now in terms of the Lakers being a possible NBA champion and LeBron leading his third team to a championship, that Denver is the opponent?
Well, look, I think, on paper and in theory, it gives a huge boost to the Lakers. You know, the fact that they're not going to be dealing with the one team that everybody felt was built to compete against them. But I would caution Lakers fans into assuming anything with this Denver team. The Nuggets are they're a very unpredictable team in terms of what kind of energy they're going to bring. You know, we saw them have a tough night in Game 1 against the Clippers. But beyond that, I thought they were every bit as good as the Clippers, and it showed in terms of how they finished games. I don't care what kind of lead you take if you can't hold it. And to me, what the Nuggets showed me was they're going to adjust as players as well as their coaches. They're going to make the necessary adjustments in a game and in a series to find what works best and to exploit it. And if you're the Lakers and you think you're going to, pound Nikola Jokic with Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee and those big men that you have, I would think that's not going to be as easy as you think. It's going to have to be about LeBron James and Anthony Davis imposing their will on the series and outplaying Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic.
Should be very exciting, as tonight's game should be as well. You're going to be on hand for that, Sekou Smith. We'll look forward to your reports on NBA TV, NBA.com. Sekou, always a pleasure. And when you leave the bubble, come on down here. We know many places where you can get great chicken wings. Landlubber is one of Luby's fine sponsors, as that garlic parmesan. And I guarantee you they won't be 24
no,
bucks.
No.
For 10
weeks. Listen, I would crawl to Miami right now to get something to eat and get some coffee. So
we'll send you a couple of the Spotters original hoagies,
exactly,
too, if they'll let food into the bubble there. Sekou, thanks so much. Always a pleasure, my friend. Thanks for being with us on the show.
Appreciate it, guys.
Be safe.
Thanks, man.
All right, Sekou Smith. Yeah, sounds like a hungry man there, right? All right, we got to run. We're coming back with more. Tony Segretto goes old school with us. Tony's still up in Vermont there, enjoying the cool climate there. And I would imagine very excited about all the different action that's taken place over the weekend and upcoming, including the Heat and the Celtics, the Marlins and the Drive for 25, and all of the college and pro football going on. Tony joins us, brought to you by Catholic Health Services and Texas Roadhouse in the 8 o'clock hour. Back with that in a moment. Now that.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring. Laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.